Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and welcome to an hour of mind power. Well, this show, I want you to just sit back and relax, and wouldn't it be nice if it were all dark and spooky outside? Well, we're getting close to that season of the year where telling ghost stories is really a lot of fun. Well, we're going to be doing exactly that today. My guest, Pamela K. Kenney, she's back in Virginia, and this woman, well, she just has so many wonderful spooky stories to tell. We're going to have a great time listening to them. Pamela, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Now, you live in Chesterfield, Virginia. You've been involved with writing. You've just done everything from fiction to poetry to horror stories and fantasy, science fiction, and just, oh, all kinds of good things that you do. And you absolutely love ghost stories. You've got to tell us how you got in to exploring the spooky spots of Richmond, Virginia.
Well, actually, all my life, I kind of used to read these books anyway for fun, you know, like by Hans Holzer and all that. And I happened to know the editor. She had joined. She was a member of a group that I'm with. She writes science fiction, fantasy, and horror, too, and Mid-Atlantic Horror Professionals. And she got a job with Schiffer, and she said she told him, since she was in charge of the ghost book division, she could probably talk to some horror authors. If they can get them, they want to do, you know, the real stuff, not fictional, like I've done before, too. And she had posted it on our forum. Well, I thought, well, what the heck, you know, because we moved out here from California, and of course there's a lot of ghost stories around here. I mean, it's pretty well, there's even a man that writes a lot of this from all over Virginia called L.B. Taylor, and I'd read his book, so I thought, well, what the heck? So I sent it in, and I said something about Edgar Allan Poe was our native son, which, you know, he did grow up here, was adopted here, you know, and I got the proposal accepted, so I start writing about it, and it was fun too. I mean, I was kind of nervous about the nonfiction part. Being fiction, you could sit here; it's your imagination. Nonfiction, you have to go out and do footwork. You know, you take pictures of some of the places, plus, you know, interviews that you got set up. You had to go and talk to the people. So, you know, I did that, but it was fun, and the people made it fun too because they were excited to talk about their haunted places. So.
Oh, it's so much fun. I just love spooky stories. I think it's absolutely wonderful. And everybody seems to have, I say everybody, but just about everybody I've ever talked to has a spooky story. You know, they've either seen someone that's passed on, or there's creatures that walk in the night, and it's really, really wonderful. Of course, we're coming into the darker hours, the longer, darker hours of the year, and so telling ghost stories, it's daylight where I am, but it's getting dark out where you are. So for those of you on the East Coast, this will really put you in the mood. Now, your mother had a bit of ESP, and tell us a little bit about her, because the unique and what was defined as supernatural was not uncommon in your life.
No, I actually used to see ghosts and had experiences, but my mother, she would have dreams, and I remember the first one was when I was a kid, and it was about third grade, and she came to me and said that my uncle came to her in a dream and told her that my grandmother had died. She was going to get a letter from him about that, and she named the week. It was going to be weeks on that date, and she did name the date to me, and it came on that date, and all that stuff was in it. Well, years later, I remember she came to me and says, oh, a friend of yours that you haven't seen since you were in junior high together, and I was already an adult, graduated high school, and hadn't seen, you know, this person that she talked about since seventh grade, okay? I mean, we moved away from that section to another section of San Diego County. And she said, oh, she's going to call you such and such tomorrow. I'm going, how could she? She doesn't know where I'm at. Well, the girl called me.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I learned it, yeah.
You learned to say, if mom says somebody's coming, or something's going to happen, you pay attention.
Right.
Yes, moms have a way of doing that. Now, you had some of your own experiences. One of them was with the Whaley House in California.
Yeah.
And you were in the ninth grade. That was one of your first experiences. What did you see?
Well, my friend and my class was a geology class, believe it or not. Geography class. We went on a field trip to Old Town in San Diego. And the Whaley House is in there because it's all a state park thing. And my girlfriend Debbie and I, well, you know, we couldn't afford much. We did bring money to eat, you know, lunch at Taco Bell across the street. At the time, it was there. I don't know if it's there anymore. It's been since 85, since I lived in San Diego. And we went across the street and to peek through the windows. I figured that's all we could afford, right? And we were peeking through the windows. She was peeking through the hallway one, looking at what was in there. And I was peeking through what was the courtroom. And there's this lady in this old-fashioned dress, hair back in a bun, dark hair in a bun. And she was kind of small, and she was coming along, going between, you know, the rows toward the doorway on the other end. And I thought at the time, well, maybe she's kind of walking weirdly. You know, I kind of thought maybe almost like floating, but I thought, oh, it's probably me. And then she went through the doorway, and, well, I liked her costume. And I went through on the side that my friend had just been at to look through, and she was not there. So later on, we saw some ladies in regular clothes inside. There was an open doorway, you know, go down the hallway to where they set the tour guides.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, where's the tour guide in the costume? We don't wear costumes. Then they asked me to describe the lady I saw. So I did, and someone else says, you saw Mrs. Whaley.
Oh, well, do you think that that was the beginning of an interest for you in the paranormal?
Well, I kind of had a lot of since I was younger and all that. I mean, like when you have a mother that can tell you stuff and things happen, you know, here and there, you know. So I've always had, and I, of course, in high school, you know, that's when Hans Holzer came out with books, and I pick up those, and it was interesting because the real ghost stories, it's not like, to me, it's not, you know, some people are scared by it, but I don't think of it as scary as horror.
Mm-hmm.
I know that in horror you're trying to make the person really scared. And it was just interesting to read all these different ghost stories and things all over the world anyway to begin with. So, you know, it was kind of neat. And I thought of different ways that I love to go there in, like, England. And I wouldn't mind staying in a haunted castle and all that stuff. But, yeah,
well, you've got a number of haunted places right there in Richmond. And Virginia is, according to what your research has shown up, considered to be one of the most haunted states in the nation.
That doesn't
surprise me, not with all the history.
Well, I read this years ago that it was considered that, and that New Orleans was considered the most haunted city, which I've been to one time to New Orleans for something. I could kind of say, yeah, that would say that place could be haunted for a lot of things. But, yeah, that's what I read somewhere, and that's, it does have a lot of, and Richmond itself has a lot.
Yes, so, it does. Now, is it true that Edgar Allan Poe came from the Richmond area?
He was born in New York, but his mother came here. She was an actress, but she performed on the stage here. She died here, and he was adopted by a family, the Poe family, here. So I know for a while they went to England, because I kind of did a thing for him in an English class a long time ago. They went, you know, he went to school out there, but they were from here. And he went to college at Charlottesville. So, yeah, he's kind of more the native son than that. And I actually think he also did some work for one of the magazine places that was out there back then around here, too. So, yeah, you might say he's more the native son. They do have a museum here. It's in the oldest stone house in Richmond. And that's also haunted, but it has nothing to do with him. The haunting is, they think there is children, which they think is the children of the original owners of the place. But, yeah, his museum is housed in that house.
Well, Edgar Allan Poe, who we know wrote a bunch of spooky stories, there are stories about the state capitol, the governor's mansion. Talk about the governor's mansion, because that was built in 1813. So
right.
What is so spooky about that, and how come it's haunted?
There is no explanation of, I don't think they know who the the girl ghost, woman ghost is. But I think that one of the if I remember right, one of the governors had walked into the bedroom, and he thought it was a friend of a wife, and he thought, wondered who she was, but ended up she disappeared and found out she was a ghost. And after a while,
boy, that's
different
a
governors had
for a male
seen
walking
her
into a bedroom.
And actually, it was just a couple weeks ago, the current governor, somebody asked about that, and I think he said something about something seen or something like that. So he probably has. He's not in the book, but he has admitted to something on the TV. So it was kind of bizarre. But, yeah, it's been over the years. There's also been a butler seen there, a black butler. He might have been somebody who worked there, but he was, I think, seen once or twice, and that was about it. But the woman ghost has been seen and felt, even when we had a big hurricane here one time and all that stuff. So, yeah.
Now,
and I know that when you go, there's the Haunts of Richmond, which was in the first chapter. They used to do it. They don't do it now. They just stick around their area. But they used to give you a real long tour, and I took that one time with my husband. This was way before the book, and we stopped by the governor's mansion, and she had pointed up to the window that sometimes they say people see the woman looking down from it, too, so I don't know.
Well, wouldn't that be wonderful if you'd had a chance to see that? You have one of the places called Haunted Shackle Bottom.
That's the whole area. I think that's one of the oldest areas in Richmond. It's got a lot of old warehouses and buildings. I know that the writer Ellen Glasgow has a house down there. She's been, you know, it's supposed to be haunted. They've heard screams and yells from there, and she used to write there when she was alive. Laser Quest used to be, which is a place where kids go to play, right?
Mm-hmm.
Laser Quest. You don't think of anything haunted about Laser Quest, but the building it's in was a former Civil War hospital, and the people that worked there upstairs had seen Civil War soldiers and things like that. There's a room that when you walk in downstairs, and it's to your right. And I know that I think they probably used because they got a table in there like for party and that, but they showed me that there's a blood spot still on the floor since 1860, still there.
Amazing.
Things
amazing.
Like that. So, yeah. And, gosh, Haunts of Richmond itself, which gives ghost tours and has a haunted house type of thing that they do, like, you know, Halloween, but just true ghost stories of the area. They found out they had a ghost back there, too. So.
Well, you can even get good, sweet Southern cuisine at Julep's new Southern Cuisine restaurant, which has been operating for a number of years. But it started out as a lumber house in 1817, and in 1832 it became a weapon shop.
Right.
And there
was
something
the weapon
that
shop
very
thing
sad
that, had to do
that
with
happened
the...
there. What happened at that shop?
Well, one of the young men that worked for the owner of the shop had decided he wanted to go on his own, and at that point there was altercation between the two of them, and the owner shot him, and he, of course, fell down to the bottom step. They claim to this day you can still hear it sometimes. I don't know. I have never eaten there. I actually, you know, but that's what they said, that you could sometimes hear maybe something hit the bottom of the step and stuff like that still. And so that's the story behind it. Obviously, a lot of, you know, murder stories always seem to end up with ghost stories.
Well, I'd say probably adds a little bit to the flavor of the dinner. If you're hearing a thump, 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 thump there as dinner is being served at that restaurant. Haunted Richmond is what we're talking about. Pamela K. Kinney is a lady that has done a lot of exploration on this, and it has been, I think, probably in many instances, a lot of fun. You talk about Castle Thunder Prison, which
right.
was a former tobacco warehouse on Tobacco Row. And give us a little bit of history about that and also about Molly Bean.
Okay. I can tell you that it's considered to have a lot of, well, it was first with the South as a Civil War prison. It was a warehouse, and then, of course, with the war come along, a lot of warehouses became sometimes Civil War prisons. And it became with the South, and then when the North came in, took over. At that point, it became the Northern prison for the Civil War. And a lot of the history is that there's been brutality from the guards and things like that. And so that's probably what they say could be part of the problems with the hauntings. I mean, actually, my husband and I were there when we took a picture. I had an experience, and it's in the book about things that happened at that time. So obviously it is obviously haunted. I know that Molly Ringwald was one of the women that dressed like a man, and she was considered, they thought she was a spy and all that stuff, and so she was arrested and put it in there. So men and women were put in this prison. And like I said, that's what I heard a lot about. Well, first I heard from the lady who owned Haunts of Richmond about, that's all she's ever heard about brutality of guards. And I did go online, and I did find all that history about it. You know, somebody actually up there has a nice thing about all the history on the dates and everything of who, what, and where, you know, owned it and stuff like that, and who was put in where and what, you know, different things were in the paper. So that kind of helped, you know, at least mm-hmm. reading it, knowing about behind the history and probably understanding why they're probably, it would be haunted the way it is.
Now, there is a tale that was written by Mrs. Nanny Dunlop Worth.
Right.
And it's an unpublished monograph, and it was found in the archives of the Virginia Historical Society in Richmond. Tell us about that story that they found after so many years.
Well, I know that the person who found it, that's the descendant, the woman that told it was supposedly in a fire. There, it's no longer there at the theater. Right now stands a church over it. But during the time before it was a church, it was a theater, and the people used to go a lot to the theater. Well, one of this young woman, girl that was like living with her, this other woman, she kind of was told to go get something and some, supposedly a spirit, I don't know. And like I said, I call this one more of a legend, though actually the fire did happen, because came to her and telling her that she would, you know, die before she turned 16, and which was Christmas when she would turn. And of course that scared her, but of course they convinced her still to go, and they all went to this, and of course it was a big performance going on. And I guess what happened was some people had knocked, there was, back then they had chandeliers with real candles, and that caught fire to the curtains, which went out of control really bad. And of course there was so much people there, including the governor of that time, you know, locked in the mm-hmm. place, and you know, people went crazy and tried to escape, you know, and all that. And some people did escape, but some didn't, of course, burned alive. And one of them was the girl. So she never did live to see her birthday. So who knows, maybe it was true, you know, because, you know, she told her one of her friends about that
mm-hmm.
or not. But she did die, as she said she would, right on Christmas. So.
Fascinating stories. Now, there is a wonderful movie theater in Richmond, the Bird Theater. And you just had such a wonderful story about that and gave a tremendous amount of history. That's part of what your Haunted Richmond book is, what makes it so interesting. It's not just the photographs you have in it, but it's the historical research that you've done.
Right.
And so often there are things that go bump in the night that when you're able to do some research on what's there for whatever reason, you find that there is a lot more than what you realize. I know that happened in our own neighborhood. I mean, we have neighbors that have ghost stories. We were sharing ghost stories, you know, about different experiences we've had. And it's amazing what people will say, well, as far as I know, this used to be this, that, or the other. And then you start digging some more and you find out there's all kinds of things that are happening. What wonderful conversations you must have had with a lot of these people when you were interviewing them.
Oh, yeah. It was nice to know, like, the theater you mentioned, Bird Theater. It's really pretty inside. I mean, this is from, like, the 20s and things like that. And they still serve hot buttered popcorn the way it used to be. And it's a small theater. So, you know, it's not like you're going to the multiplex now and you got the stadium seating. It's, you know, way it was back then. But it's nice to go in, especially when you miss a movie you wanted to see but couldn't afford at the time, and it's only second-run, it's just second-run theater.
Mm-hmm.
But the ghost has been seen not only at the back of the door on some nights when people are, like, trying to lock it. He's been seen that look like he's trying to help, but mostly up upstairs there's a balcony, which nobody else is allowed to go up there generally. The only time he lets anybody up there, the owner, the current manager, is like some of his workers, you know, may bring friends in. He'll let them go up there, sit up there and watch a movie for free, which they're allowed to do and not be with the rest of that. And there's a seat up there that the former first manager, that had been the manager, had one who died in the 70s, used to sit in there to watch the movies. That was his favorite seat. And a lot of these young guys, people that work for him, he told them later, they'll say, well, I thought you said we were never allowed to have anybody up there. That's why it's roped off. Who's that old dude? Obviously, like I said, they've seen it. You know, that's proof right there. You wonder who, he's supposedly seen up there, but how do you know? Well, yeah, well, the worker with their friends will go sit up there and wonder. Of course, like to them, they think, who's that old man sitting there? I thought nobody was allowed up here, you know?
That's so much fun. Can't you imagine a whole group of people coming in and saying, okay, let's see him. Does he appear often enough? From your story, there's been so many people that have seen him.
Yeah.
That it's pretty common. So he likes the popcorn smell, apparently, and loves to watch the movies.
He doesn't want to leave the theater. During the interview, it was hard to get him to quit. They didn't want him to quit, and so he died not long. He didn't want to leave that theater. I guess that was his life, probably what it was. I would assume, and that's probably why he's staying there, you know.
Amazing. Now, plantation. You cannot think of Virginia, or actually any area of the South, without having an image of a beautiful plantation. And you talk about the Berkeley Plantation, and this was the birthplace of William Henry Harrison, the 9th President of the United States, and Benjamin Harrison, the 5th, who was the signer of the Declaration of Independence. It's also the ancestral home of Benjamin Harrison, our 23rd president. What a history!
It was Benjamin Harrison's one of them. That, you know, there's so many down the line that had is supposedly the one that's haunting it. He did not live supposedly. There had been a lightning strike, and he had just, you know, the only one survived was this baby, basically, which grows up to be one of the presidents, but they think, you know, it's him haunting the place and stuff like that. And there'll be things like, you know, the fruit that's been seen on the one table moving and things like that moving.
I love the disappearing peanuts myself.
Yeah.
What happened with the peanuts? Where'd they come from? And, of course, nobody knew where they went.
Just so many things like that happening there. And it's a beautiful place, too. You know, from the outside you could see how beautiful it is and all that stuff like that. And I liked it, the fact that he wasn't the only ghost there. Of course, this one is probably a legend, and like they said, probably made up by the plantation owners to keep the black slaves in their places at night. But they would talk about some kind of ghost thing and this dip in the road, too. So that was a cute little thing. I thought that was
neat,
too.
What's about the dip in the road? What happened with the dip in the road?
They keep saying that they would tell them there's something there, screaming and yelling and kind of a ghost. And so that would scare, and that's what the slaves claim. And all they can think of is that one is a legend, because obviously that the plantation owners didn't want their slaves to leave their cabins at night. So they told them they can't go there because it starts haunting the dip in the road. So it kept them in their cabins.
Well, we're going to have to tell one final story, and that is about Ruth Chris's Steakhouse.
Right.
Because that is a steakhouse that's known throughout the country as being one of the very best. And it is absolutely delightful that they have their own spook.
Well, it used to be a plantation, so which has a history of murder. And the guy that had bought it had gotten interested in this young girl, which she was very young for him, but back then things were different. And he asked for her hand from her father, and he married her. And he caught her one day coming back with her a former boyfriend, her age. And, of course, you know, he wanted the marriage broken up. That was it, you know. I mean, she's not being faithful. The father didn't like it, and he convinced the father convinced the boyfriend to go, and they, you know, waited for him, and, of course, he got murdered. Well, they got, of course, arrested and all that, and it's not actually far from where I'm living, the Chesterfield Courthouse is. My husband works for Chesterfield County, in fact, and the courthouse there, and they did that, you know, we're going to hang him, and the boy got off because they said he was being used by the father, so he got out of it. But the father twice tried to get out of it, didn't, of course, he could die. But afterwards, the daughter, who still lived in the house, to this, they don't know if she fell and broke her neck or what caused it, but she died. And, of course, it's her ghost and her husband's that are seen. So I have been seen in the backyard.
For those of you that love ghost stories, you need to pick this book up because there are so many wonderful ghost stories in here. Haunted Richmond. Virginia is considered one of the most haunted states in the country. And it's not just going to be about murders. It's going to be stories about all kinds of things. There's even a story of a portrait that changes colors. Ah, yes, but you'll have to get the book to read it. Pamela, do you have a website that people can go to?
Yes, it's http dot dot, or as all I ever call it, //, Fantastic Dreams, with an S on the end, dream, dot 50megs.com.
Okay, Fantastic Dreams, singular or plural?
Plural.
Single dream. Dreams.
Dot 50megs.com, and the 50 is 50.
50, and Megs is M-E-G-S?
Right, Megs, M-E-G-S, dot com.
Dot
and,
com.
And there is no www, it's http dot dot //. I know some people think it www, but no, there's no www with this one.
Okay, http colon.
Right.
Two forward slashes, fantasticdreams dot 50 megs, M-E-G-S, dot com.
Right.
Well, I know that this is a book that is absolutely filled with so many wonderful, wonderful stories. So for those of you that want to get ready for a Halloween, and if you have any swapping of a fairy tale, well, or you want real-life stuff, this is a book you'd want to have in your library, because what's going to be more fun than sharing spooky stories? What is your, we're almost finished, but what was your favorite story that you did in the whole book?
Actually, you know, I like the lady in red because I live up the street from that, and the lady was real nice to do that, considering that she holds weddings there now and receptions, and this woman, this ghost has been haunting this place, the same, all these people since the beginning of the century, you know, and they know it's one of the daughters that died there, Susanna and all that. But I think my favorite is a legend as the Richmond Vampire, because I think it's kind of cool that we have a vampire story.
Oh, you got your own vampire in Richmond,
yeah,
okay.
That's, in fact, that's his tomb on the cover of the book. So they did it a little more spookier than when I took the picture inside. You see the black and white version. He is connected to the train under the hill. That's another favorite story. We have a train buried under the hill. In fact, last summer, they tried to dig it out until they were stopped by the city because, number one, we had a big flood in Chacobana a couple of years ago thanks to, you know, Gaston. And, of course, I think there's a lot of water probably underneath that, and that's what they were worried about, that happening again after all the problems we had down there because of that. And he was connected to that train in the 20s when they were trying to dig a hill. Instead of going around Richmond, they wanted to dig through it, which was kind of dumb. Unfortunately, there was a cave-in and people... A lot of people probably did, because they know there were some hired right then and there, and so they don't know how many really died or under there. And when they stop that, that's what they want to make sure. Don't even, so nobody knows for sure what's underneath there other than the train and probably some bodies.
Okay, but, well, we've got a vampire. We've got a portrait that changes colors. We've got spooky libraries. We've got spooky plantations. It's a spooky book, folks. Haunted Richmond. Pamela J. Kenny has been my guest. Her website, if you want to go to it, is http://fantasticdreams.50megs.com. Pamela, it's been a lot of fun. Thanks so much for being my guest.
Thank you very much for having me.
This is Donna Thiebaud. We are taking a break. Don't you go away now. We've got more good stuff to share. No more spooky stories. We'll have some more of those for you later on. We'll be right back.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Thiebaud to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272. Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Well, telephone lines are now open, and if you would like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, give me a buzz. 877-876-5227 is the number to call in the U.S. 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And also a direct line of 530-876-3222. And all I need from you is your first name or your initial. I love to know where you're coming from or where you're calling in from. And then after that, just let me do my thing, and I will be happy to share with you any insights, and you're welcome to ask a question after I finish giving you my mental impressions. And I want to remind those of you who are listening in the state of Washington, I am going to be doing an appearance day after tomorrow, Saturday, at the Boeing Parapsychology Expo. It's being held at Kent Commons. And you can go to their website, BEPC, Boy, Edward, Paul, Charlie.com. Go to their website. You'll get the map. It's real easy to find. It's in downtown Kent. And we'll be there for the day, and it's going to be absolutely delightful. I'm going to be in booth 60. They're going to have all kinds of people, different vendors. This is one of the oldest, if not the oldest, parapsychology expo in the United States. So I invite you to come on out. Do come by. Say hello. I'll be doing many consultations there. And it's just going to be a lot of fun. So I hope you'll come by, say hello, and then we'll have a chance to chat one-on-one. I always enjoy meeting with my listeners wherever I appear publicly. It's always a lot of fun. Also, when my newsletter comes out on the 1st of October, for those of you around the country, I'm going to be appearing in Alaska. I'll be there as of the 8th through the 14th. I'll be in Alaska. Then I'm going to be in Southern California. I haven't locked down my locations at that this time there, but I'll be in Southern California. Also, I am going to be in New York City. So if you are in any of those areas and you would like to meet with me for private sessions, I'm going to be available for that appointment only because my time is going to be limited. But I've got an intense month of traveling, and of course the Donna Sebo Show will be done live from wherever I am. That's the wonder of technology. No matter where I go, heck, I guess if they make a lot of space, I'd be doing it in outer space if we had the right technology. Let's go to our first caller for today. And if you want to call in too, remember the phone number is 877-876-5227 and Canadians 888-815-9756. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Well, good evening, Ms. Sebo. My name is Lyle, and I'm calling from Indianapolis.
Indianapolis, Indiana. Wow. Is it getting a little bit pretty with color back in Indianapolis?
Well, not colors yet, but it's trying to start.
Trying to start. Well, I'm so delighted you were able to call in. Lyle, the first thing I'm looking at with you is a need for patience because you've got a lot of irons in the fire. You are trying to manage, and I would even use the word manipulate, circumstances so that they're going to be more in harmony than what they have been. and I respect and I appreciate that. I want you to know, though, don't add any more irons of responsibility into the fire of action, because it's going to cause more confusion. Now, there's some clutter you're trying to clean out of your life, some clutter. And I look at this, I'm going to say, take one step at a time with it. Because as you are cleaning out the clutter, you're going to find that it gives you more freedom to do what you want to do. And this isn't just a physical clutter like an office or something like this. I think it's an emotional, a mental, and even a spiritual level of clutter. And you're doing this very systematically. And this is a slower process, but it's as if you have closure with some issues you've not had closure with, because you are cleaning out the noise. You're cleaning out the clutter. And you're saying, it's okay for me to let go of certain things. So you've got a lot going on in your life. And when it comes to career, you need to recognize that it's going to take you a little bit longer than what you anticipate to really have that level of both financial independence and also the, what I would say would be the mental independence that, and creativity that you would like to experience in your working environment. That's going to take a little bit longer, but that doesn't bother me. You're going to be just fine. You've got a lot, though, to take care of. Do it. Take and have patience with yourself. That's the biggest word I can give you at this moment. What would you like to ask me about today?
Well, I had a question. It may revolve around what you were just talking about. On October 2nd, I have a meeting, and I was wondering how that meeting will go.
May I ask what it's regarding?
I'm sorry?
May I ask what the meeting is regarding?
Oh, well, we'll say the short word is taxes.
All right. I actually think the meeting can actually go very, very well. The most important thing for you to remember is to go into the meeting prepared. Remember what I mentioned a moment ago about cleaning up the clutter?
Yes.
This is part of the clutter.
Okay.
So it's important when you look at this, get rid of that sinking feeling in your stomach. I want you to shift your mental positioning with this and look at it as something that needs to be worked with in a responsible way. Don't come from a point of fear.
Right.
Come from a point of being aware of something that needs to be taken care of, and you sit down with someone, whoever you're going to be talking with, and say, I want to be able to take care of this. Tell me what you need. If I need to supply information, I'll be glad to do that. If what I've given you is not enough, please tell me how much I need to give you or what else you want from me, and I'll be glad to cooperate. I don't think you're going to have too much of a hassle, but your attitude, your preparation, and your willingness to work with details is going to assist you phenomenally.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
You are very welcome, Lyle. How'd you hear about the show?
Well, I had come across BBS a while ago, and I just came back to it because I was looking while I'm working on the computer or on the computer. I like to listen to something, and I like to usually listen to metaphysical shows or shows that talk about UFOs or the paranormal in general. And I went back to BBS, and I saw they had redone their website and saw they had several different stations and saw your name up there and saw their schedule and said, well, let me take a listen.
Well, I'm so delighted you joined our listening family. Thank you.
Thank you.
And you be sure and tell your friends now.
Yes, I will.
All right, Lyle, you have a wonderful day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This is Donna Siebel, and if you'd like to chat with me, 877-876-5227 is the number, or Canadians, 888-815-9756. I wanted to share with you something that Lindy Chad wrote. It's just absolutely delightful. As I'm looking out of my studio window here, I have all of this beautiful change of colors. And this is what Lindy said. Autumn paints with golden leaves its blazing red on field and trees across a quiet afternoon. Isn't that cozy? Wonderful, wonderful poem. Let's go to our next caller. Welcome to the show, first name or initial. Where are you calling from?
Arizona in Glendale.
And first name or initial, please?
Mary Ellen.
Mary Ellen, wow, you are going to be so busy, you are going to wonder where you can retreat to because you're going to have your hands full. I think you're going to come into the year 2008 wondering who puts you on a turbojet charger. It is just going to be an intense year 2008. Now, I've jumped ahead time factor-wise, but that's just what I'm getting. I also think that this month, you've got to make sure you get things organized for the next 3 months because you are going to have a lot of interruptions, a lot of different responsibilities popping into your environment unexpectedly. So being organized, pretty much having things nailed down, if you will, regarding planning, will assist you a great deal. But you're going to be one busy person, one very busy person, especially in 2008. What's your question for me today?
I have a, there's a partnership that I'm becoming involved with, and there's an individual that is going in on some, he's actually going to finance me for the purchase of a big ticket item, and I'm hoping this is going to be successful in our arrangement together. We've pretty much ironed out the details of it. I was wondering if you saw that as being successful.
Well, I would say business is business.
I'm sorry?
I would say business is business. And if you handle this like a business arrangement, and you handle it responsibly, it should be fine.
Okay.
If you do not, and you try to get emotional about it, or create an emotional environment, like a you shoulda, or why don't you, or anything else, you're going to have some problems. This should be done as a straight business arrangement. And you should have, dependent on the big ticket item, whatever the amount is, whether it's $5,000 or, you know, $1 million. Whatever this is, there should be some kind of a contract signed by both of you. And I would encourage you to make sure you have an attorney review it. Now, you may think it's rather silly, but again, you are dealing with something that should be handled as a business item. So don't assume anything. If it's clear and it's direct and the other party agrees to this and everything is in writing, that is a good thing. If you're going to take an emotional positioning with it, it is not in writing, you've got some problems coming up. So it's really pretty clear cut.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're very welcome, and thank you for your call.
Thank you.
We're going on break now. This is Donna Thiebaud. If you'd like to call in and chat with me, 877-876-5227 or Canadians 888-815-9756. We're going to be right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Thiebaud. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference.
Enter the magical world of God's Kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss, book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author, Donna Sebo, will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.DelphiInternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. 877-876-5227 if you'd like to give me a call. Canadians 888-815-9756. Well, I've got to let you know about who's coming on tomorrow. We're going to be talking about how you can sail into your dreams. Karen Meringer is going to be my guest, and I think the title says volumes. And then, yes, you're going to blink, and we're going to be into October. And here's the lineup we have got for next week. We're going to be talking a little bit about numerology. My guest is going to be Dolly May. I've known Dolly May for years. She's come out with a new book, and this is its title. If you have a name, you need this book. So we're going to have fun with numbers on Monday. And then Living Life with Purpose, Dr. Brad Swift. He's going to be my guest. This is a man that walks his written talk. And we're going to be talking spooks. Well, what else would you expect? We're coming into October, Halloween, all kinds of wonderful things happening. So we're going to be talking about the ghosts of St. Louis, the Limp Mansion especially, and that is going to be coming up. Then Leadership Agility, Stephen Joseph. This is a superb book on leadership. And then we're going to be talking about boomers. Yes, that generation that is, well, going to be a substantial portion of the population and the challenges they're facing and things that we can look forward to having them experience. That and much, much more. And, of course, on BBS, you're going to have a listing of all of the guests that are coming up. I'm going to be filling in all of the blank spaces that are there right now, and you'll know about all the guests. Don't forget, in my newsletter, I also will have a listing of it, and I know I've gotten some information from people about having trouble getting through on Donna at DelphiInternational.com. There's been something that's happened with my server, so if you need to, you can send it to Donna Sebo at Comcast.net temporarily. Why don't you just go ahead and send me an email there, and if it doesn't kick back, then you know you've gotten through. So we're just having a little bit of a problem with a server, and we're trying to get that all clarified. Give me a buzz if you want to chat, 877-876-5227. Canadians 888-815-9756. I wanted to share a little bit of trivia, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Are you aware that Merriam-Webster has added about 100 words to its collegiate dictionary? The latest entries, some of them DVR, digital video recorder, ginormous, G-I-N-O-R-M-O-U-S, extremely large, Sudoku, it's a numbers puzzle, and speed dating, which is a matchmaking event. Now, that's just a few. I had never heard of the word ginormous. Have you? I haven't. So there's just a little bit of trivia for you. Also, I got something here about a little chihuahua. This is the most adorable puppy. Its name is Heart coon. And, of course, you know chihuahuas. You can hold them in your hand. They're so tiny. And this one was born in Japan. And the picture is just awesome because it shows Hart Coon with a perfect heart-shaped mark on his coat. Now, the breeder of this dog, Imoko Sakurada, is convinced that his birthmark on this dog brings luck to all who see it, and she's already experienced more good fortune, and guess what? She thinks this dog is so lucky that that's the reason why her sister won the lottery. Now, there are thousands of people that have offered to give this little dog a home, and you can imagine why. Imiko says the lucky little pup already has one safe in the bosom of her own family. Oh, I love stories like that. They're just absolutely wonderful. This one I like, too. If you're a chocolate lover, which I am, we've got another good point. Shall I say a brownie point for chocolate? Being a little bit a stinker. Tulane University, there was a researcher that found the extract of cocoa powder is actually more effective than fluoride at preventing cavities. Yahoo! What a deal. Can't go wrong with that. The extract of cocoa has a chemical makeup similar to caffeine, and it helps to harden tooth enamel, making those that use it or eat it less susceptible to tooth decay. So guess what's going to be coming out? Uh-huh. Can you figure out what it's going to be? I'll tell you. Chocolate toothpaste. No calories. They figured they're going to have it out in about 2 years. That was just too good for me to pass up. I just couldn't resist that. Hey, and you gals that are often accused by your kids and your husband of hearing everything that goes on, well, apparently you are endowed with a double hearing gene. Because if you can listen to and easily understand two things that are going on at the same time, for example, let's say someone in your family is talking on the phone to you in one ear, and then you've got somebody else asking you for a glass of milk in the other ear. Human genetics, there's a journal called Human Genetics. They said that's what enables someone to do this, a double hearing gene. So for you kids out there, you young people, and you got a mom and or a dad like that, trust me, it's real. It's not make-believe. That double hearing gene. Well, this is Donna Siebel, and I know that we're almost out of time. I want to be sure to remind you that day after tomorrow, I am going to be doing an appearance at the Boeing Parapsychology Expo at the Kent Commons in Kent, Washington. And I would love to have you come by and say hello. I'm going to be in booth 60. I'll be there doing many consultations, and I will have a slew of books that I will be bringing along from various authors. Also, there's going to be so much going on at the Boeing Parapsychology Expo. You can get all of the details, directions, and how to get to the Kent Commons, parking, all kinds of good stuff. So just go to their website, BEPC, Boy Edward Paul Charlie, .com. BEPC.com, and you'll have all of the details that you need. So I hope you'll come by and say hello. This is Donna Siebel. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. There is nothing that you cannot achieve in your own way, in your own manner, if you're willing to really go for it. Don't ever forget that. You've got the dream. You've got the power. You may have to figure out some options to work with, but that's the adventure of it all, isn't it? This is Donna Siebel. Have a fabulous, fabulous time wherever you are with your day, and we'll be back here bright and cheery, same time, same place, with the Donna Siebel Show here at BBS Radio. Oh, quick like a bunny. Don't forget the archives. If you miss the show, you can always listen to it at your convenience. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.